Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 9:38. Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Debbie Monterey along with Tom Ackerman. And yesterday we had retired Blues defenseman Barrett Jackman in studio with us talking about his latest endeavor, a recreational marijuana dispensary. Today, we speak with one group that has been watching cannabis use, especially among teens. Joining us in studio is Stacy Zellin of Prevented, an agency focusing on reducing and preventing drug addiction and misuse. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, in a webinar last week, you highlighted current use rates among young people ages 12 to 17. So how common is marijuana use in that age group now, and has it gone up or down?
Well, so across the country, we see, and this is information coming from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, we see about 10% of adolescents reporting marijuana use. So that would be in the age range of that 12 to 17 that you mentioned. If we are talking more locally, there is a survey that is administered to Missouri students. It's called the Missouri Student Survey. And what that is telling us is that among 9th to 12th graders, about 10.8% of them, so maybe around 11%, are reporting marijuana use within the past 30 days. So we've seen those numbers fluctuate from time to time, and sometimes we can speculate about why we might see an increase or why we might see a decrease. But it's numbers that we really want to be keeping an eye on now, given that we now have a recreational cannabis program here in the state of Missouri. So these are numbers that we're going to be keeping an eye on as a prevention agency. And we're also wanting to be attentive to any other vulnerable population or some other public health threat or unintended consequence that we just need to make sure we're looking out for.
Stacy, we know that it's widely available now. How are teens getting it? As it's available to adults, obviously.
It is, and that is a great question. The Missouri Student Survey will also ask that among those students that report using cannabis within the past 30 days, where they are getting it. So one of the numbers that I wanted to note today and talk about is that about 27% of them are saying that they get it from a family member. So when I talk about numbers that we want to be paying attention to, this is also something we want to monitor over the next few years. We know that as we pass medical cannabis programs or recreational cannabis programs, it is becoming more normalized, and that perception of harm, that perception of risk will decrease, and that is something that can lead to an increase in use among some populations. But we want to make sure that people are aware of those risks, that we are having those conversations with our young people. So again, that number regarding the students that say they're getting cannabis from a family member, that's something that we're also wanting to keep an eye on.
I think you had said in Missouri, 10 to 11% of students had said that they, 9th to 12th graders,
10.8%
in the last 30 days. Is that a shocking or alarming number? I mean, is that higher than alcohol, or can you give us an idea of how good or bad that is?
I wouldn't use the word shocking or alarming, but the reason we are particularly concerned about any use of cannabis or any substance for that matter with young people is because young brains are not done developing. Brains aren't done developing until the age of 25. And when young people use substances, their brains are disproportionately impacted by the effects of those substances. One of those effects could be experiencing a dependence on that substance later in life. We know that among the risk factors for someone to develop a challenge later in life, or maybe to develop a diagnosed substance use disorder later in life, The strongest risk factor, the strongest predictor that we know is that early use and initiation, and that could be for any substance. So yes, you know, we could talk about how cannabis use rates among young people compares to other substances, but this is why we want to be watching that number to see if we start seeing an increase in cannabis, because now these laws have changed. The context has changed. So we'll want to be watching for the impact there.
What prevention strategies should we make note of here moving forward?
Thank you for asking. The good news is that we have a lot of opportunities to avoid any kind of negative outcome when it comes to substance use challenges or substance use disorder. So for young people in particular, I want to point out a Prevent Ed resource. We have a website called talkaboutitmo.com. And on that website, we have developed age-specific or age-appropriate talking kits for adult caregivers or parents to have conversations with young people. And we would make the case that we can do this early and often. So the first talking kit is actually geared for pre-K through second graders.
Wow.
And, you know, we're not talking about specific substances at that age, but we're talking about what is a medicine, or who are the trusted adults that can give you medicine. And the idea is that in having these conversations early and often, we build up slowly over time. And this way, parents or caregivers don't hit that high school age and all of a sudden say, oh, no, we have to have this conversation. And it's also a potentially really awkward conversation with their young people. So we want to encourage parents and caregivers to have these open channels of communication for parents and caregivers to express, you know, how they feel about their young person using these substances. We know that that really matters to young people, and that they do take that into account when it comes to making, you know, these really tough decisions when they're faced with, you know, the opportunity to use substances.
And before we let you go, speaking of educating, more than a quarter of teens surveyed are getting the marijuana they use from an adult in their home. I'm sure some of it is they're finding their parents' stash, but maybe parents are sharing it now because, like you said, it's more acceptable. What would your message be to adults who may be using?
So we don't have the data right now to understand, you know, what that means, you know, more deeply, like what you said, is it being given to them? Are they taking it? But what we can encourage adults to do is to make sure that if they do have cannabis products in their household, that they are storing it safely. You would think of this just like any other medication that could be potentially dangerous. If you look to Colorado, they've had cannabis programs for a lot longer than we have, and they have some very clear and specific guidance about what safe storage could look like, how to make sure that you keep these products out of reach of young people. But they also acknowledge that, you know, for older kiddos, you know, access might be something a little easier. It's not just as simple as having a childproof container or a childproof bottle or anything like that. So it really is something that parents need to think about. But again, that's part of the message, is that as we see this shift, as we see this increased availability in these products, we want people to be getting those messages that this is something we need to pay attention to now.
9:47 on Total Information AM, and Stacy Zellin, Community Education Coordinator, Prevent Ed. Thank you for all this information. We really appreciate the education today.
Thank you so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.